It's a couple of weeks on from the general election, and I caught up with Wimbledon's new Lib Dem MP, Paul Koehler, to see how he's getting on with the job.
I'm Paul Koehler. I'm the Lib Dem MP for Wimbledon.
It's great to see you and to be able to talk to you again, this time on the other side of the general election. Congratulations on being elected as Wimbledon's new MP. I think the most important question, first of all, is just how have your first couple of weeks as an MP been?
It's been very exciting. I've obviously been very honoured to be elected. You feel a huge weight of responsibility on your shoulders when so many people have put their faith in you. And thus far, I've been sort of learning the ropes or trying to learn the ropes as best I can. It's a whole new world with many new rules, and I'm trying to work my way around them.
It must be very exciting being one of quite a number of Lib Dem MPs in Parliament at the moment.
Yes, we weren't expecting to get 72. We're very excited at that. There's almost 60 new Lib Dems. There's of course over 300 new Labour members. So there's a vast number of new members in the House.
What are the first things you're looking to get on with doing locally? What's sort of at the top of your list of priorities?
Well, this sounds mundane, but the first priority is to get my office up and running. And we have a crazy system. You know, Stephen Hammond was a good constituency MP. He had a well-run office. He is now dismantling that office while I have to start from scratch to build a new office. It's a crazy system. What we should have is, of course, every constituency should have an MP's office in it, staffed by caseworkers who would be equivalent to civil servants doing casework, which isn't political. And then you would just bring in a couple of political appointees when a new MP came, particularly from another party. Instead, the current MP or the former MP closes his office down. You start from scratch, and it will take me months in reality to recruit staff, to train them. And it makes absolutely no sense. So my first priority is simply getting my office up and running so I can perform all the things I want to do for the constituents of Wimbledon.
Yeah, it's probably hard to get on with a lot of the work if you don't actually have an office to do the work in.
No, and nor do we have an office in Parliament because the outgoing MPs had until last week to clear their offices out. There is, as I understand it, some horse trading between the parties as to who gets where now. So we won't have an office for 2 or 3 weeks in Parliament. But that I can live with. There you can do a hot desk. It's the constituency office. It's the office in the constituency where people can come to, where I can have caseworkers. That's what we really need up and running straight away. And as I say, that will take weeks, probably months to get up and running.
Once Paul's managed to get his office space sorted, there's lots to keep him busy. I picked his brains on a couple of local issues facing the constituency this month.
Since I last spoke to you about Thames Water, Ofwat has announced that they're starting procedures to put the company into special measures. A lot of the constituencies supplied by Thames Water have now elected Lib Dem MPs. How does this procedure fit with your party's objectives regarding water companies? Do you feel the special measures address your concerns?
They begin to. Sarah Olney, one of my colleagues, in the last Parliament, she put forward a bill to bring Thames Water into special measures. So we're pleased this is happening. Of course, we want to go further. We want to actually turn water companies into public benefit companies where they would have actually prescribed duties to the community, not just to make profit for their shareholders. We want this done immediately, and we also want Ofwat to be disbanded and a stronger body brought in. Ofwat doesn't have enough powers. We want an office of clean water brought in with really strong powers to force water companies to stop paying bonuses whilst they're pumping sewage into the rivers, not paying huge dividends when they're not investing enough in the waterways. These are things that must happen.
I've seen some people mention, following up on Ofwat's decision to put Thames Water into special measures, that actually eventually temporary nationalisation might be on the cards, even maybe permanent nationalisation going all the way there. I don't know if that's something that the Lib Dems would further down the line want to see implemented.
We're not arguing for that at this moment. You know, we wish if we had a time machine, we'd like that the water companies hadn't been nationalised. They have been, and there are huge expenses now going renationalising them. We think there's a halfway house, turning them into public benefit companies, which are, you know, it's an American concept. Ben and Jerry's, the very successful ice cream company, they're a public benefit company. You know, they can make a profit, but they also have responsibilities to society. And we think that's a halfway house, which won't cost as much as nationalisation, but will achieve what we want. And the reality is not so much about ownership, but about regulation, which is why we need an office for clean water to actually be tougher with these water companies.
Another area which I spoke to you about pre-election was the proposed plans for the All England Club tennis complex on Wimbledon Park. This last weekend saw the finals at Wimbledon. So I think it's maybe a topic that's on quite a lot of residents' minds at the moment. I discussed with you the fact that the decision is currently with the Deputy Mayor of London, Jules Pipe. Whatever the conclusion of the Deputy Mayor's office, do you expect the decision to be called in by the Secretary of State for Housing, Communities and Local Government? That's Angela Rayner. And what representations do you feel as the local MP for Wimbledon you'll be able to make in those discussions?
Yes, if the Deputy Mayor does give permission, we do hope it'll be called in by Angela Rayner. And we will make the same representations we've made before. This is metropolitan open land. There was an absolute promise to the community never to build upon it. And the All England Club can't simply ignore those vows it's made to the community and its responsibilities to the environment and the climate. You know, the metropolitan open land, it's the lungs of London, and we cannot simply build over it. We love the tennis. We've made that point time and time again. We want the tennis to succeed. But the All England Club needs to reach a compromise with the local community, and thus far they've refused to speak to us. I am in fact writing this week to the chief executive of the All England Club, asking for a meeting to see whether or not we can move this forward now the election is beyond us.
Finally, ahead of the state opening of Parliament, Paul told me he was ready to be part of a constructive opposition.
We're very excited that we've got a King's Speech to look forward to tomorrow. Yes. There's lots of things in there. Well, but we're hoping there's lots of things in there we've been calling for, including regulation of the water companies, as you've seen, and dealing with other problems such as artificial intelligence and policing, where we want to improve community policing. So there are lots of things we're hoping that were in our manifesto will now be in the King's Speech, even though, of course, it's our Labour government bringing it in. So we will watch and we'll hopefully play a keen and constructive role as opposition, supporting where we can and trying to improve things where they need improving.
The proposal for a Wimbledon Park development, which I discussed with Paul, is currently with the Deputy Mayor of London for a decision. Chair of the All England Club, Deborah Jevons, CBE, has commented that our overarching plans to transform the former Wimbledon Park golf course will deliver one of the greatest sporting transformations for London since the 2012 Olympics. We continue to be committed to delivering significant social and environmental improvements, as well as creating hundreds of jobs and generating millions of pounds in economic benefits. I'm Lucy Knowles, reporting for Radio Jackie.